This week, we're diving into the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. We asked the contributors to the show what they wanted to hear about in the future. This week, we're delivering the first in a series of requested shows. We'll talk about the difference between the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, the Southern Jurisdiction, their education schemes, degree structures, and even how they tease each other. Don't miss this edifying episode. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, this is episode number 453. Welcome back to the show. I want to say thank you once more to our producers, our fellows, and our contributors who make this show happen month after month, year after year. Make sure all of our episodes are always available for everybody all the time. I get a couple questions every now and again that say, how do I access the first 200 episodes or 100 episodes or whatever it is? They're not on iTunes. And that's because iTunes only keeps up to list like 300 episodes at a time. So as we increase an episode, they drop one off. How do you get those original episodes? The answer is there's two ways, really. Well, there's a few different ways, but one is to go to your favorite podcast aggregator and search for it there. Now, the best one that I can recommend that will have everything you're looking for actually is the Liberated Syndications podcast source app. So you can download it on Google Play or you can get it on Apple. Just search podcast source, download it, add Whence Came You. You search for that while you're in the app, add it to your shows, and boom, it's there. And you can just scroll to the bottom and start at episode one if you want. Believe it or not, lots of people do that. I used to think that's weird, but now I kind of see the benefit of going from episode one forward. However, that's how you can do that. Now, something that I did just recently was I asked the question to our producers, fellows, and contributors. I said, hey, all, just for you, the supporters of the WCY podcast, let me know who should we get on the show. Or is there a theme you would like for an episode? I'll do the research and we'll make it an episode. So, you know, a lot of times I do these posts and I don't get a whole lot of responses. But I have to say, I got an immense amount of emails and comments about this stuff. So I've been going through these and I'm writing down resources and putting together episodes for the future based on these requests. And Brother Kevin Honeycutt was one of the first people, he was the first person to reach out, and he says, if it hasn't already been done, I'd love an episode on the differences between the Southern Masonic Jurisdiction and the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction. So, Brother Kevin, you were the first one. That's what this episode's going to be about. The difference, as you probably already know from the sizzle reel in the front of the episode, that's what this is going to be about. So, I've got really a pretty decent piece that I can read for you that I did write back in 2016, originally ran in the Working Tools magazine, then was updated, and illustrious brother Chris Hodapp featured it on his blog for a while as well. Now, I'll have links to both of those in the show notes, but I'm going to read those to you and talk a little bit about my experience in both of those. So really, Brother Kevin, and anybody listening, there's a few things that I really recommend first and foremost. We tend to do this all the time, and I used to do it all the time. I assumed that the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction means that the Southern must be also called the Southern Masonic Jurisdiction, when in fact, they actually just go by the Southern Jurisdiction. The word Masonic isn't in there, and I don't think it's any big deal. It's kind of semantics, but people will correct you. So I'm just going to lay it out there. It's Southern Jurisdiction and Northern Masonic Jurisdiction. And my first foray into the Scottish Rite, of course, was here in my home state of Illinois, and the Northern Jurisdiction is 15 states, and the Southern Jurisdiction is the rest. So that in itself is interesting. Now, a lot of people listening probably don't know that there are two separate organizations. However, there are. And a lot of the things that I could go about and just start talking about right off the cuff are actually done in the two pieces that I have for you this week. So because Chris references my work on Midnight Freemasons, I'm going to read Chris's article first, and then we'll read mine to dive into some additional details. So without any further delay, let's get into this week's first piece, which again comes from illustrious brother Chris Hodapp. Saturday, May 28th, 2016. The two U.S. Scottish Rite jurisdictions. Brother Robert H. Johnson, over on the Midnight Freemasons blog, has a long post today outlining the basic general differences between the United States systems of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite Northern Masonic jurisdiction versus the Southern jurisdiction. There are very big differences. Robert's post is a good primer for anyone who is interested in joining the Scottish Rite and is encountering this subject for the first time. It is not a critique of either jurisdiction. It is merely the observations of a brother who has experienced degrees in both. Give it a look here. Now, everybody listening, this is where most people might break away and go read it and come back. However, we're not doing that. We're going to read Chris's in whole first. So continuing on, many Masons often ask why there is so much difference between the philosophy of the two jurisdictions in the United States regarding their rituals. It can best be summarized by the late Melvin Maynard Johnson, the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction's former Sovereign Grand Commander, in his allocution from 1943. Quote, "If the time ever comes when the Scottish Rite determines to remain static, when its philosophy may not be adjusted to the needs of a changing world, then is the time for its obsequies. Until then, its leaders should never abandon study of philosophy, of its ritualistic teachings that, by recast and revision, it may keep in the van of advancing civilization." End quote. A term there, obsequies, means funerals. I didn't know what it meant. I had to look it up. If you knew, good on you. Continuing on. "From the degree rituals of the Supreme Council, 33rd degree, Ancient Accepted Scottish Rite for the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, United States of America, circa 2008 by C. DeForest Trexler, 33rd degree, quote, "It is of passing interest that in 1960, the Supreme Councils of the Northern and Southern jurisdictions of the United States agreed to joint meetings of their respective committees on rituals for the purpose of promoting greater uniformity in degree work. Before any meetings were held, however, the Southern jurisdiction withdrew from the venture on the grounds that its ritual, written by Albert Pike, already, quote, was as perfect as humanly possible, end quote. Hence, there was no reason to discuss change. Notwithstanding that Pike himself had been the greatest innovator of Masonic ritual and over a period of 30 years to 1884, had revised the initial versions of his own rituals. Perfect or not, the reality was that valleys across the Southern jurisdiction routinely were abridging and adapting the Pike ritual to suit their individual situations. Perhaps it was inevitable that, starting in 1985, the Southern jurisdiction began to soften its stance by undertaking to modify and simplify, or abridge, the Pike ritual. This process culminated in 2000, with the issuance of the revised standard Pike ritual." End quote. Illustrious Brother Trexler's work is the only relative document that even discusses the Northern Masonic jurisdiction degrees, while the Southern jurisdiction has published a stream of books over the years to explain or explore the rituals Pike wrote between 1857 and 1870. Trexler's book does not disclose any of the actual rituals, signs, symbols, etc. It's merely a history of the changes of the Northern Masonic jurisdiction degrees, and of the changes the NMJ degrees have undergone over the last century or more. But it is of interest to those who have wondered about the subject. To my knowledge, it exists only online and then as an archived file on the Wayback Machine Archive. A new book has been written by an NMJ Mason, and it covers the newest versions of the NMJ degrees, explains each one, tells its history, the background of each story told in the ritual, and also adds a brief description of its SJ counterpart, just for good measure. This promises to be a boon to NMJ Masons who have been begging for something similar for years, and that frankly should have been published officially by the Supreme Council. It is due to be released later this year by Star Publishing, a print-on-demand imprint that has published Cliff Porter's books. Written by Christopher Hodapp on, again, 5/28/2016. Now, a couple notes here on this blog. Number one, Chris was the coolest for putting this out there. He has two quotes. That one long quote by DeForest Trexler, 33rd degree, coming from the Degree Rituals of the Supreme Council, is indeed on the Wayback Machine. There are some kind of, I would call them egregious statements at the time that basically said the reason for the Northern jurisdiction's ability to kind of switch around the degree structure and how they work is because of a diminished attention span of the modern man. So that was, it feels like a knife, give me a little twist. Notwithstanding, though, what's great about this actually is that book did come out that he references. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But also the Northern jurisdiction did some really incredible work to remedy a lot of the situations and frustrations that people were having in terms of its degrees. So today, the ancient accepted Scottish Rite, Northern Masonic jurisdiction, of course, has a wonderful, wonderful education program, which you can access the Hout Great Academy. And Brother Chris Hodapp was one of the people who are behind it, as well as Brother Oscar Allen and some others. And it's a phenomenal program. And what I experienced in the Northern jurisdiction was the inability to get copies of the degree rituals. Now, for all of us Freemasons out there, if you're a regular Mason, I say regular, I don't mean regular. I mean, if you're just a Blue Lodge Mason, you usually have a copy of your work, the standard work or the monitor or whatever, the floor work. Well, within the Scottish Rite, that really, some valleys, that's what we call them, valleys. So Valley of Chicago or Valley of St. Louis, wherever you are. Some valleys have the readily available books of the ritual for their members. But my experience was that I couldn't get copies of these things if I tried. So, to that end, that was always frustrating. Now, all of the Scottish Rite Northern Masonic Jurisdiction rituals in PDF form are able to be viewed, reviewed, read, and contemplated through the Hout Great Academy. So, if you're interested, again, I'll put links to all this in the show notes, but that is a really great program, and I commend the NMJ on their education efforts. There was a time that I walked away from the Northern jurisdiction for not having an education program. I re-upped my membership after they launched it. And I still haven't been able to get into the program, and they had a waiting list, and they kind of run it that way. And I've just not been able to get in or dedicate the time to it. But nonetheless, they've answered the education call, and I think they've done a fantastic job with it. So, for Brother Kevin, who had asked, this is just kind of a teaser, right? Because what are those differences? Well, let's talk about it right now. The Division of Empires, the Scottish Rite Northern Masonic and Southern Jurisdictions, a story of jurisdictions within the Scottish Rite body of Freemasonry, by Midnight Freemason contributor Robert H. Johnson. Updated May 2015 from the original, which was published in the Working Tools magazine. In light of the recent events of Celebrate the Craft 2016, the annual fundraiser for the Southern Jurisdiction House of the Temple, the upcoming November 12th celebration of Scottish Rite Day, and the absolute awkwardness that was the Scottish Rite NMJ survey, I found myself fielding tons of questions as of late regarding the Scottish Rite, its jurisdictions, schisms, differences and similitudes. So below is a slightly revised version of an article I wrote for the Working Tools magazine quite a while back. I hope you enjoy. Now, the first thing I want to address before I go further into this piece is I talked about this fundraiser, the Celebrate the Craft, which happens every year. So if you're a Scottish Rite brother who doesn't know about this, check out Celebrate the Craft. You can see previous links and all these things. It's really like a telethon, think of like Jerry's Kids kind of thing, but it's for Scottish Rite stuff, And really, the primary focus for a long time was just raising money for the house of the temple. It needs some severe restoration work. The other thing I referenced in here was Scottish Rite Day, a day to celebrate Scottish Rite and everything it means to be a Scottish Rite Mason and celebrate its history and whatnot. And then I referenced this really awkward Scottish Rite Northern Masonic Jurisdiction survey, and it was done with SurveyMonkey, and it was a really cool survey, but what was happening is, as we were doing the survey, they were changing the survey. So you would be doing the survey, you'd go back in to look at it again, and the questions have changed. The answers were changed. So it kind of destroyed the data set. It invalidated it. So it was really awkward. But there were questions about, you know, signing onto YouTube to watch degrees and whatnot, and we really found that kind of gross and disgusting, right? Nobody wants to watch degree work on a TV or whatever, but times are different now, right? And they've had immense success with these Thursday night viewings of the degrees. So many people have tuned in fact, that it crashed their website. So the people have spoken. They love watching the degrees from the comfort of the home. Pretty cool. But anyway, back to the piece. When I joined the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite in 2012, no one told me that there were two jurisdictions within the order in North America, let alone the different versions which exist globally. All I knew was that when I took the tour of our new cathedral, the Valley of Chicago, it felt like both a country club and a great fraternal organization to be part of. Let's explain for the brothers who might not know about the two jurisdictions, or empires as I jokingly referred to them. We begin in the fog of antiquity. There are some documents and writings which suggest that the Scottish Rite was active in the 1730s in England, but I am not here to debate the origins. I will talk about what we know. There are rumors that Scottish Rite was basically a bunch of Scottish Masons who left Scotland to go to France. Some say they, the Scotsmen, were defectors, but this is not official. After a stay in France, the Scottish Masons were tired of their masonry being diluted with French culture, again, additional speculation, so they left and took with them the system of degrees. There were many spin-offs of the Scottish Rite system. Memphis Mizraim, for instance, with its 96 or 99 degrees, depending on which source you use, but again, I won't be touching that one. When the system reached America, the Scottish Rite system was almost a product, in that it was being sold by the multitudes, like traveling salesmen selling vacuums or steaks to an unsuspecting sucker, their brother. There was no quality control, no authority on the degrees, and there were versions galore. So, the Mother Council of the World was created in Charleston, South Carolina, in 1801. They added a few degrees to the existing 25, and now had the well-known 32 degrees plus one honorary degree, the 33rd. Some say the 33rd degree was actually taken from the competing Cerneau degrees, a system which later caused the biggest schism the fraternity had then known. They adopted the motto, a Latin phrase, Ordo ab Chao, meaning order out of chaos, or from chaos. Most would agree this phrase was adopted because it refers to the chaotic status of the rite during the preceding years. In plain language, it was a mess, but no longer. Well, kinda. There were still a few rogue groups of Scottish Rite enthusiasts way up in the north and northeast, Cerneauism. They were ordered to get their stuff together, and they did. And in 1806, the Supreme Council of the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction was formed, holding precedence over 15 states. The remaining 35, plus Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico, being under the Southern jurisdiction. Coming back now to the year 2012, there I was sitting in a theater of the Valley of Chicago, receiving my degrees over an amazing 3 days. I remember at that time I was working a first shift job, so I woke up at 4:30 a.m., worked 9 hours, then got dressed and went to the reunion at night. I was super tired. Nevertheless, I had a great time. I was introduced to the awesome system of Scottish Rite degrees. During that reunion, the Valley of New Orleans had come up to share in the fellowship and put on a quote-unquote red third degree. That degree was amazing, but is a story for another time. Over dinner, I sat with brothers from New Orleans, and that is when I first learned of a difference between our two jurisdictions. I was thoroughly confused. The brothers from New Orleans advised me to check out the Master Craftsman Program, which is a correspondence course set up by the Southern jurisdiction to help us understand the degrees and gain better insight. So, needless to say, I did it. I started the MCP, the Master Craftsman Program, and that's when I realized that these degrees were different. Not just a little, a lot. The names were different, the degrees were different, the messages were different. Not one thing was the same, not even the quote-unquote royal secret, which is that last degree, Prince of the Royal Secret, Master of the Royal Secret. When I looked to the all-powerful internet for further information, there were no official statements or even articles which explained the differences of these two organizations. There was nowhere to turn other than forums like Reddit. So I really hope this article helps anyone who was in my situation. Well, it wasn't long before I decided I needed to see this southern jurisdiction firsthand. Lucky for us, this was easy. Both jurisdictions recognize each other. Although, if you see a degree in either jurisdiction, it doesn't count if you are a member of the opposite. And now I knew why. The answer? Because they're completely different. You would think that the ancient accepted Scottish Rite is the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, no matter where you go, but it isn't. I talked to my good friend, mentor, and Scottish Rite brother Frank about visiting the Valley of St. Louis. Then I called the Valley of St. Louis and inquired what I needed in order to attend their spring reunion. The secretary advised me to bring my current dues card and my cap. I thought, I guess I have to buy a cap? I asked if there was a fee for us to pay, and there wasn't. I asked about hotels in the area, and they gave me a bed in the dorm for free. Apparently, this trip was going to cost me a tank of gas, and that's it. I was excited. My next step was to ask my Scottish Rite mentor Frank about these caps. Frank loaned me one to wear on my stay. At this point, all I knew was that the hospitality of the Valley of Chicago wore the typical black cap. Turned out, in the southern jurisdiction, everyone wears a cap. I later bought one while at the Valley of St. Louis. So, I got down there, had a great tour, stayed in the dorm, was fed meals and given drink. It was definitely brotherly love in action. I didn't know what exactly to expect when I saw the degrees in the southern jurisdiction. I had a little grasp since I had done the Master Craftsman program, but again I thought, how different could it be? The answer again was completely. I'd like to outline a few things and differences between the Northern Masonic jurisdiction and the Southern jurisdiction, between these seemingly amicable empires who strive so hard to spread light among brothers. The first thing which strikes a difference between the Northern Masonic jurisdiction and Southern jurisdiction is the degrees themselves. In fact, this is probably the biggest difference. The easiest way to describe it is that where the Southern jurisdiction maintains the look and feel of a traditional degree, complete with an altar, volume of sacred law, and various implements associated with the degree, the Northern Masonic jurisdiction uses only a scripted play. No altar, no aprons, just a skit, which should impart the lessons contained. The Southern jurisdiction tends to style each degree as most Blue Lodge and York Rite members are accustomed. There is an explanation of the degree, a password in some degrees, specific aprons and esoteric fundamentals explained. Most of all, each degree in the Southern jurisdiction is set up where it feels like a lodge opened and closed with a small drama in between, a typical explanation on the meaning and secrets of the degree after. The Northern Masonic jurisdiction usually starts with a preface and then explodes into what I can only describe as Broadway. There isn't an explanation into the mysteries per se, but rather a specific takeaway that the degree team hopes you have seen and realized. Further, the Northern Masonic jurisdiction uses passports, which you have stamped after each degree in order to keep track of what you have seen, and also each page, which has the title of the degree and also has a little takeaway or moral lesson printed therein. No passwords, no grips, no aprons, just a performance with a message which is pretty modern. In short, the NMJ was a modern adaptation of a play, where the southern jurisdiction was a ritual that you watched like a play. I hope that makes some sense. Further differences between the two seem to be that, as I stated before, in the NMJ, the black hats worn by members are typically worn only by the hospitality, although this varies by state and sometimes particular valley, whereas in the southern jurisdiction, they are given to each member as a part of their initiation into the rite. Again, this varies from valley to valley. On the whole, all members, regardless of how they got their hat, are encouraged to wear their black hats at all Scottish Rite events in the southern jurisdiction. The basic membership, or 32nd degree members in the northern Masonic jurisdiction, typically do not wear caps. Another interesting difference is the emphasis on the 14th degree and its ring. In the northern Masonic jurisdiction, little is mentioned about this ring, whereas again, in the southern jurisdiction, there is an explanation of it, and sometimes one is given to each candidate. This practice has been suspended in many valleys due to the cost of buying a ring for each candidate. Nevertheless, candidates who have received the 14th degree in the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction are encouraged to acquire and wear this ring, and to wear it always until which time, if they are chosen to receive the honorary 33rd degree. The Northern Masonic jurisdiction really focuses on the fraternity aspect, or even social qualities, and really emphasizes the 32nd degree. There are a great many more differences as well. For instance, in some valleys in the southern jurisdiction, the members perform a public play for the profane, or the uninitiated. This play is actually the 20th degree of the Northern Masonic jurisdiction. It deals with George Washington and Benedict Arnold. What is a private degree for the northern jurisdiction is a public event in the southern jurisdiction. The 4th degree of the northern Masonic jurisdiction in many cases is given as a video presentation and is kind of a general preview of what to expect in the degrees of the northern jurisdiction. According to some sources, the 4th degree video was originally intended to be a promo for the northern Masonic jurisdiction Scottish Rite, for Masons and their families, and possibly to give them an idea what the Scottish Rite was all about, and somewhere along the line it just became the 4th degree. The 4th degree in the southern jurisdiction is again more of a lodge ceremony similar to the Blue Lodge and York Rite degrees. The degree structure in both is a bit different as well. In the northern Masonic jurisdiction and southern jurisdiction, the 4th through 14th degrees are under what is called the Lodge of Perfection. However, after this, there are some differences. The Northern Masonic jurisdiction then confers the 15th and 16th degree under what is called the Princes of Jerusalem, while the Scottish Rite Southern jurisdiction confers the 15th through the 18th degrees as the Chapter of Rosecroix. The Northern jurisdiction confers the degrees in the Chapter of Rosecroix in just 2 degrees, the 17th and 18th. From there, the Northern jurisdiction confers the 19th through 32nd degree under the Consistory, while the Southern jurisdiction confers the 19th through the 30th under the Council of Kadosh, and finally the 31st and 32nd as the Consistory. After seeing the degrees in both jurisdictions, it was apparent to me that both merit applause. Hard-working brothers, putting on the best degrees they can for the betterment of the Scottish Rite. I will continue to receive degrees in both jurisdictions because they are complementary in certain ways. Still, after all this, I had a question. Why the difference? Why was the Scottish Rite Southern jurisdiction just rocking these revised Albert Pike rituals? And why did the Northern Masonic jurisdiction decide to revise, and in many cases continually revise, degrees? While there seems to be no official language, there is speculation on the reasons for the contrast. One reason often cited was that Albert Pike, being a Confederate officer, the status of which was held against him, and so the North refused the degrees that he rewrote, siding instead with the Charles T. McClenahan version, which was a rewrite of Pike's rewrite. although there is often stated that there is no contention between these jurisdictions today. Writings often refer to these jurisdictions as rivals in the early days. Also, it should be noted that the Charles T. McClenahan version of the ritual was, from what I have researched, not a rewrite of any published work of Pike's, but a rewrite or updating of Pike's unofficial ritual, magnum opus, and that Charles T. McClenahan used parts of the never-published secret directory, which was a handwritten explanation of degrees in a 5-volume set that the Northern Masonic jurisdiction had acquired. Another often-cited reason for the differences is yet another objective opinion which harkens to the idea of the Northerners' need for progressive and liberal changes, quote-unquote. In this notion, it is supposed that the quote-unquote old degrees hold no truth for today's Freemason, and that the degrees need to be updated continually to be properly understood. This was accomplished by updating the degrees and rewriting them to showcase more familiar and relatable concepts, while trying to maintain the original takeaway, or lesson of the degree. Essentially, a modernization in an extreme form. What I find interesting is that if this is indeed true, that the degrees need updating to be understood by today's Mason, why then have the Blue Lodge craft degrees not done this? I would say personally that no degree needs updating, but that is my humble opinion. To revisit the idea posed earlier that there is no contention, and that today both jurisdictions work in unity together, is an accurate statement as it relates to visitation, recognition, cordiality, but is what I would describe as a partial facade when it comes to the attitudes of individual members and their beliefs about the other guys. In my travels, I have found that members believe in the superiority of their system, a sort of ethnocentricity among Masons, although they do respect and recognize each other. Of course, there are jokes about the respective camps on both sides. In fact, while at the Valley of St. Louis, I was told, "We don't have any fancy submarine degrees," as he chuckled, and then made a jab about the Northern Masonic jurisdiction having video degrees, but it was all in jest. Yes, I did say there are degrees on video. This still comes as a surprise to Masons residing within the Northern jurisdiction and Southern jurisdiction as well. It's not something many of us are happy about, but this paper is not for critiquing, rather to advise and educate. As for the Southern jurisdiction, I have heard in my own valley some rather interesting comments made about the clinging to old ways and monologues that droll on and on, referring again to the Southern jurisdiction rituals. There definitely seems to be some underlying animosity. In the end, the ancient accepted Scottish Rite, whether you're talking about NMJ or SJ, have excellent systems of moral instruction and degrees. Whichever you join, whether you like it or not, is recognized by the other, which means you can visit either one you like. There is, of course, the problem of degrees themselves being recognized, which they are not. So just keep track of the degrees as you see them and take notes. I think there is an interesting conclusion to be made, which is that perhaps the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite is not 32 degrees, but rather 64 degrees, with honorary 33rd degrees in both, which again are different from each other. I hope this aids in your search for light, brothers. Here's to all 64 or 66 degrees of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. Below is a video which just came out. It's made by the NMJ, I believe in prep for Scottish Rite Day on November 12th. It has some good history and is only 3 minutes long. I hope you enjoy. And that's the end of the piece that I wrote. And as I was reading this, you know, I really wanted to make some corrections to some statements that I had made, but I didn't because I figured I would just address those later. So number one, if you visit the blog post, you'll see this video. It's a really great 3-minute historical piece on the degrees. I highly recommend a couple things here. Number one, there are a series of videos that have come out regarding the history of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite and how they work together. Featured in these videos is none other than illustrious brother Arturo de Hoyos, and Brother Glatley, who is the Sovereign Grand Commander of the Northern Jurisdiction, as well as illustrious Brother James D. Cole, who is our Sovereign Grand Commander for the Southern Jurisdiction. Now, I talked about education, which for most of our listeners here at the Whence Came You podcast is something that's paramount. Now, of course, the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction launched the Master Craftsman Program. Well, it was a correspondence course that was all, like, they would send you books in the mail and you get your papers and you fill out your papers and you circle your answers and you write your essays and then you sent them back for grading. They would grade them, and then with your next packet, you'd get your old grades plus your new material. Well, thanks to a great team of dudes at the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction, which includes, I just found out, I didn't know he was working on this, Brother Rich Maynard from the Tyler's Place podcast has been working diligently with a team of people putting the Scottish Rite Master Craftsman Program online. That's right, so now you can do it online. Very awesome, a wonderful program. And you know, the Scottish Rite Master Craftsman Program from the Southern Jurisdiction is a wonderful program, but it also has multiple components. There are the Master Craftsman Program 1 based on Symbolic Lodge, which uses Albert Pike's Esoterica on the symbolism of Blue Lodge degrees. Then there is the Master Craftsman Program 2, the Scottish Rite Ritual and History, which deals with the 4th through the 32nd. And then there is Master Craftsman 3 on the Scottish Rite Philosophy. So, myself, you know, I completed what was then Master Craftsman 1, but it's actually Master Craftsman 2 now. So I've completed the Scottish Rite Ritual and History, and I have been hung up probably for 3 years now on Master Craftsman 3, which used to be 2, which was the Scottish Rite Philosophy. I've never taken the Symbolic Lodge. It's on my list of things to do eventually, but again, busy guy, I haven't done it all. But I highly recommend checking out this program for anybody. Now, let's talk about, for a minute, the Northern Jurisdiction's answer to all of this as well, which is the Haut-Grade Academy. They have a wait list. You can go to the website, get on the wait list. There's 3 levels here as well. They dive into ritual of all the 29 Scottish Rite degrees. There's an essay portion, and then a written research paper on a topic of the candidate's choice. So 3 really cool things you can do. And of course, the people who are involved with here are brothers Yasser, Muhammad, Oscar, and Chris Hodapp. And they're all doing this stuff for all of you who are interested in becoming true masters of our craft or Haut-Grade Academy, getting to the top, high-grade masonry. So really great stuff. That's it. So Brother Kevin Honeycutt, I want to thank you for your question. You know, I think we have a pretty good comprehensive overview here. If you have additional questions, feel free to email me if you have questions about this. If you've got any corrections for me, shoot those over. You know, a lot of this is based on my opinion, my experience as a Scottish Rite Mason for 8 years, been in both jurisdictions for a very long time. And again, just my perspectives. I hope that helped clear some of that up. I will put a lot of things in the show notes that I think will be really relative to helping you understand even more. Those things will, of course, be that booklet that I mentioned from the Northern Jurisdiction published back in 08 by Trexler, which was on their website for a while and then mysteriously removed quite fast. But it's still out there, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well as everything else. That's it for this week, everybody. I really want to thank all of our producers, fellows, and contributors, and everybody who sent me ideas for episodes. To give you an idea of some of the things we might be covering as we come up, I've got requests to go over Mackey's History of Freemasonry, some info on De Sanglier. One brother, Brother Rick Bishop, asked, he always wanted to know, quote, who the others I shall appoint are, coming from some ritual. So that's going to be a fun question. Brother Eric Lieb says, just the esoteric concept. Keep doing that. So we'll try to do that. Brother Rick Epperson, somebody, Brother Rick is amazing. Wonderful pilot, everything else. Congrats to him. He just got engaged even. But Brother Rick wants a segment on Mormons and Freemasonry. And this is something we're actually actively putting together. It's going to be an epic episode with Brother Ben Williams, myself, and a guest who actually wrote to us about that. So we're going to put that together. The list of amazing topics people have brought up is insanely cool. So look for all of those episodes coming up. We've got no shortage of information or Masonic stuff. So that's it for this week, you guys. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.